Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Albert, am I the best radio host in Cleveland, or at least your favorite?
You're the best one that I've known for a while.
Thank you. Albert, we've been through a lot.
Yeah, we have.
Hey, that we will remain off the air.
How about that?
What's that?
Big one Saturday.
Oh, my God. Huge. Huge game. What do you think? I'm a little nervous about it just because it's on the road.
I am. I mean, it's funny. I say this to one of my buddies. I'm like, I don't know. Every year I have that stupid feeling that they're due. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's just, like, it's been, like, if you told me when I graduated in 02 that they would lose the year after I graduated, and then they basically wouldn't lose again except for one probation year until the year 2020, I would have been like, I would have thought you were smoking something,
yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's unbelievable. There's just that sneaking thing in the back of your head that, you know, they're due for something weird.
Guys are just scared because you're Buckeyes, and
guys like me who are
not involved in the rivalry, there's no way Ohio State loses. Albert,
I play roulette. Yeah. Black doesn't come up every time.
Well, let me tell you something. I said this before, Albert. When is the last time Michigan beat Ohio State in a game that everybody thought Ohio State was going to win? It hasn't happened.
It was like when I was in high school, I think.
Yeah,
like,
there were a bunch
back then. Like back in the 90s, there were a ton of those. I don't know, man. Like, it's – look, this is – I think it's sort of like – part of it is – you know, I think when they won the title in 1914, and me and Dustin were both in Dallas for that, and that was sort of like the way that team turned it on at the end was unexpected. And then in 15, they were just, I mean, I think probably one of the best rosters in college football history, and they didn't win. And you sort of like, you know, in a team like that, it's like, okay, like, you know, there's just every game gets a little bit more tense. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So it feels like they really have something this year, so you hate to see it get screwed up.
Yeah.
That's where the tension comes from.
I agree.
Ohio State has won by double digits four of the last 5 years, including last year, the 1 year everybody thought Michigan was going to win. They won by 23 points. So we'll see. Everything points to Ohio State's win.
I think Bull is trying to put a hex on us, Dustin.
I'm not trying to put a hex. I want Ohio State to win. I'm just confident.
I'm confident. Here's the thing that scares me, Albert.
Yeah.
When Bull's overly confident like he is now, that doesn't
let me
well.
Let me tell you something, Albert. Did I not pick the Ravens to beat the Patriots?
You did.
Did I not pick the Seahawks to beat the San Francisco 49ers?
You did.
Did I not pick Minnesota to beat? Who did Minnesota beat? Who's Penn State? I picked them to beat Penn State, and I said LSU would beat Auburn. Beat Alabama. I got all of those right, and I'm getting this right too.
Congratulations.
All right. So for selfish purposes, I hope your nostrils are freaking dominant.
Yeah.
How about that, Bull?
I hope so too.
Yes. Yes, indeed. All right, Albert. Did the league move up the Browns-Steelers game to 1 so the crowd would be less rowdy? Did that factor in after what happened last game?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. They're never going to admit to it. But I give you guys a perfect example of something like that. You guys would agree that the Chiefs came into the 2019 season as maybe one of the most exciting teams in the league with maybe the most marketable young star in football, right?
Yes.
Do you guys know when and where they played in week one?
I can't remember.
Jacksonville.
At Jacksonville. 1 p.m.
Yeah, Jacksonville,
right.
1 p.m.
Okay.
And why do you think that is?
To bury it. Bury the Tyreek stuff.
It's because the Tyreek thing was hovering all offseason.
Right.
And they knew it was going to be a story in week one. And the last thing they wanted to do was have that be part of the Thursday night broadcast, Sunday night broadcast, or either of the Monday night broadcast. The last thing they wanted to do was to have everybody watching and the domestic violence conversation going on. So what do? They put them in one of the, I think, two smallest markets, maybe the smallest market in the league, at 1 o'clock on the Sunday of week one. And why would they do that with like the most? I mean,
because there's 10 other games going on. It gets buried.
That's the team. Like coming out of 2018, like that's a team the league would want to showcase, right?
Sure.
Like exciting to watch, great young quarterback, incredible weapons. I mean, it's just like and they did that, and you can't tell me otherwise. They did that because they knew the Tyreek story was hovering,
yeah.
And they didn't want like the whole all of week one to become about that. And so, I mean, they'll never admit that what they're doing is burying Brown Steelers. But, you know, it certainly seems to me like, you know, what they're doing here is burying Brown Steelers.
They are. And listen, Albert, to be fair, had this incident happened at a 1 p.m. kickoff when it wasn't the only game on television in primetime on a Thursday night, it probably wouldn't be as big. And I don't even know if Miles gets suspended the whole season. I think the outcry and the amount of attention this garnered, that made the suspensions
100%.
Bigger. Yeah, it was Good Morning America material, okay? It wasn't like it was just a sports story. It was bigger than sports because of how big the stage was, I think.
Right. There's nothing. I mean, like the big thing is with these sorts of stories, and I've sort of learned this. It's like when I do my column on Mondays, right? Like, I always feel like before I really, like, I don't have all my material set and everything else, but I always feel like I got to wait until a Sunday night game ends before I really decide what I want to lead with. And the reason why is because I know you wake up the next morning, right? Like, and like, there's just whatever happened last, a lot of times, if it was big, is going to be the biggest story naturally. And so these primetime standalone games, Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night, a lot of times, you know, for whatever reason, those will get the most attention. I mean, we were all talking about Lamar Jackson's been playing like this for a while, right?
Yeah.
Why is he a huge story this week? Well, because he was on Monday night. It's the last thing all of us saw. And so we're all talking about it. I mean, Lamar played like that against the Patriots. He played like that against the Texans. Why does it seem like a bigger deal this week? It seems like a bigger deal this week because, you know, it was the Monday night game, you know? And so I think for the same sort of reasons, the Browns-Steelers fight gets magnified. Sitting there on a Thursday night, everybody wakes up Friday, and the last thing they saw went before they went to bed on Thursday night was that fight. And so, you know, the league obviously is well aware of public perception, and I mean, we've seen the way they've reacted to public perception in the past, right? Like, that video, Ray Rice video, is, you know, exhibit A of that. They suspend him for 2 games. The video comes out. The public just destroys them for a day, and he never plays in the league again. You know, what changed there? Nothing changed there except, you know, now we have video of what he admitted to doing, and there was tons of public pressure on them to act, and they did what they probably should have done in the first place, but that was all about public reaction. And so I agree with you 100%, Dustin. I mean, so many of these things are just about public perception and the image of the league and all that protect the shield stuff.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, you mentioned that, and the scheduling, I don't understand how the game of the year, Niners-Ravens, is at 1 o'clock. How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, well, before the year, it didn't seem like the game of the year, right? So I can understand why it was naturally.
Sure,
I can understand why it was naturally at 1 o'clock in September. I guess what you're asking is why they didn't flex it.
Right, yes.
And I'd have to look. I'm gonna pull it up right now for you guys what the 4 o'clock schedule is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like last week's a good example, right? Like, so you would think, like, last week they had Eagles-Seahawks at 1 o'clock, and I think that's a pretty appealing game, right? The Seahawks are playing great. The Eagles are a brand-name team and haven't played to their level, but – you know, obviously, you know, a team was a Super Bowl favorite coming into the year. And the reason they didn't flip that game from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock is because they promised Fox that window to have Patriots-Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were sort of protecting the network in that case. And what happens? Well, you know, that was the highest rating for Fox in 23 years, you know.
Right.
So a lot of times, like, there's – I would just say broadcast politics going on.
Gotcha.
And I wouldn't be surprised in this case. I'm looking at the schedule now. I mean, I see Oakland, Kansas City sitting there, CBS, right, 4:25. The only Fox game is the Rams and the Cardinals. And so, this very easily could be, and I'm just looking here for you. Yeah, I mean, like, so the San Francisco-Baltimore game is a Fox game.
Right.
My guess is, like, last week they had Fox in that 4:25 window, primetime game, and this week probably CBS is week, so they don't want to – They feel obligated not to screw CBS here and put Baltimore-San Francisco in the 4 o'clock window to compete with the CBS game.
Albert, going back to the Brown-Steelers brawl, I still don't understand why Mason Rudolph was not suspended. Because, you know, listen, I said technically I thought Myles Garrett started it, little over-aggressive on the sack. Fans get mad at me when I say it, and they don't hear the rest of what I said. And the rest of what I said is – and he may have started it technically, but but Mason Rudolph clearly started the escalation of the event twice in this in this whole thing, and I think it's a joke that he was not suspended.
So here's what I would tell you. I think there were two easy suspensions in this whole thing, and that was Garrett's penalty. I mean, look, no matter what provokes it, you know, Garrett swings a helmet, Pouncey throws punches and kicks, you know, guy. Like, and I think what Pouncey did, you know, probably was applauded in the Steelers locker room.
Yeah,
standing up for your quarterback that way. And I don't have a problem with it, but I also understand where if that happens on the field, they have to suspend the guy, right?
Yes.
They just can't let that go. So I think those are the two easy suspensions. What confused me about this was I felt like in both the case of Larry Ogunjobi and Mason Rudolph, I felt like if those things had happened, if the, what those two guys did happened in a vacuum, like you wouldn't suspend them for it, right? But
yes.
I don't think what Ogunjobi did was suspendable in a vacuum. If it was just it happened in the course of a game and wasn't connected to this brawl. And same thing with Rudolph, right? Like if what he did
Agreed.
Didn't lead to the brawl, then I don't think that's suspendable either. I also, on the flip side of it, understand why because you had the brawl, because it didn't happen in a vacuum, you would suspend those guys for it because there's a connection to it. My thing is, I thought what the two of those guys did, either suspend both of them or suspend neither of them. So that's really where my problem with it would be if you're not going to suspend Rudolph, then don't suspend Ogunjobi. If you're going to suspend Ogunjobi, then suspend Rudolph. And I think it was even, to me it would be, like, even take it to the next level, it would even, you could even, like, say, like, okay, like, that's two Steelers, two Browns. Suspended, so we're sort of creating a little playing field. And you can see what the fines do, by the way, like that Mason Rudolph's fine was way more than most of the other guys.
Right.
And so, like, the league's acknowledging, and I wonder how much of that, too, was probably, you know, how much of that was just a public outcry in the aftermath. You know, but clearly the league signaled to everybody they did take what Rudolph did more seriously than, you know, what, say, like David DeCastro did.
Yeah, I don't even know why he was fined. I don't even get that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like most of it, I think, was he? No, because he wasn't even a leaving the bench area guy. Cause
no.
He was on the field.
Yeah, he was breaking it up.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Like, a lot of these, it's just, it's like you said earlier, like all this stuff's about public reaction. I think a lot of this is just about how it looks in the press release, you know? And if they suspend, if they punish 25 guys, then it looks like they've really got a handle on the situation. Maybe better than if there are 15 guys in that list. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at exactly what happened with DeCastro. I know he had a problem with being fined in this case. But, yeah, he's not even going to leave the bench area guy on the field with the Steelers off.
Albert, assuming the Browns are playing much better, assuming they win at least 8 games, which at this point they'll probably win, you'd think they'd win at least 3 more.
Yep.
Is Freddie definitely coming back next year?
I think so. I mean, I don't think John Dorsey hired Freddie Kitchens, and I do feel this way. I don't think John Dorsey hired Freddie Kitchens thinking that Freddie Kitchens was going to be a finished product as a head coach in 2019. And that's not excusing any of the stuff that's happened, by the way. Like, that's not, you know, some of the penalty issues, and I think Freddie would tell you this himself, some of the penalty issues, the discipline issues, I think there were probably some mistakes made in the spring and summer that have – sort of contributed to what's happened over the course of the fall. And I think now it's on Freddie, assuming that he's back in 2020, to take care of these. Now the question is, if they are 8-8 and some of the discipline issues are still there, do they just roll it back with the same group, or is Freddie going to make some staff changes, or is he going to be forced to make some staff changes? I think that part of it's interesting because I think he's got a lot of good coaches on his staff, but I'm not sure that they fit together quite the way that you would ideally want them to. And so, you know, the question is, like, does Todd Monken want out now? Because, you know, he's not calling plays and, you know, he's been sort of, I think his star is sort of dim. You know what I mean?
Like,
so is he out of here? You know, you've had some issues with the special teams, like, and Mike Prefer's a very well-respected guy, but, you know, do you bring him back? I think there's just questions about the way the staff makeup is set up. And I'll be interested to see if Freddie is back, whether or not there might be a change or two of significance to happen there.
Thanks, Albert. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. See you, Albert. Go Bucks.
See you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.